Isn't it superb that leadership is a lifelong process? And guess what's likely the single most important passage in that process of leadership development? I'm 100% behind Jim Kouzes and Barry Posner when they write, "Only challenge produces the opportunity for greatness." See note 1 for a marvelous quotation below. But here's what's too terribly absent from the leadership literature. We're almost never told that the greatest leadership challenges lie within. Or after reading this today, tell me I'm wrong. We all come factory equipped by nature and nurture, and two of our inbuilt systems inevitably impede our highest level of leadership performance. One of these systems is the inevitable partial way in which we see the world. Partial in both senses of that word. Each of us only sees a part of it all. Yet on top of that partial condition, we favor that part, i.e., I am partial toward my way. A part of my wife's way, for instance, is to be fanatically results-oriented, while a part of my way, by great contrast, is to be people-oriented and process-oriented. I'll share a note below about Myers-Briggs, for those of you who are Myers-Briggs aficionados. Each way, my wife's and mine, captures an important part of leadership, but being overly partial to one or the other creates dangerous blindsides. I may not get stuff done, while Jennifer may get it done, but in a way that's too quick and won't stick. Of course, we're partial to our ways. Indeed, Jennifer would rightly say that in my heights of hidden arrogance, I spent years trying to get her to be more like me. This partial way can be affected by many of the pieces of our cultural baggage, our religious upbringing, or lack thereof, our economic and political upbringing, our clan, family heritage, birth order, etc., all contribute to our unique partiality. Great leaders find that the older they get, the more they realize how little they really know, and how the things they used to think they knew had more to do with the particular, note the part at the beginning of the word particular, filters that they possessed, rather than with the reality that they thought they saw with distinct clarity through those filters. So one great challenge for you, leader, is to learn to see your own filter, and to value the myriad other views that help you see the full set of external challenges and opportunities and options. I said there were two different systems that created the inner challenges for leaders, and while the particulars come in tens if not hundreds of combinations and permutations, the other internal system is utterly simple, universal, and even more pervasive. It's the mind's captivation by a four-letter word that starts with F. It's fear. Not scary movie fear, not childish fear, but deep hidden fear that we're not good enough, that we're imposters, that people don't like us, that we're going to get fired, that we'll lose control, that. Seriously, the older I get, the more I realize that fear can run my life, that unobserved fear will run my life. It can result in workaholism to compete and prove myself. Fear I've lost the competition with other writers, parents, speakers, siblings, heck, even my own wife. Take the most banal example, but perhaps one relevant for driving leaders. I was realizing over the past week of hundreds of miles of driving a car in a strange new place that I was hearing mere navigational questions from my passengers as challenges or doubts about whether I was really in control or was lost. A great primal fear, and now there's some classic male baggage for you. If I could do one thing, just one thing, to help toxic bosses, awful parents, egotistic politicians, I'll bet you, and I know me, it would be this. Awaken us to expect and accept that there is a very small person inside who has the ability to hold our mind and ensuing actions captive. Get really open to how our partial beliefs, partial knowledge, and partiality can ally with fear to make us do really small and often hurtful things to the work and the people that truly matter to us. I dare you, see, I'm inciting fear, to show me there is something more than partiality and fear that challenge us as we strive to lead with our best self. Here's the note about the full quote from Kouzes and Posner's leadership classic. It goes like this. Name any great leader, performer, scientist, athlete, activist, citizen. Chances are that the crucible of that person's crowning achievement was some distressing crisis, wrenching change, tragic misfortune, or risky venture. Only challenge, they say, produces the opportunity for greatness. Now here's my note. Notice how fear is implicated in each of the four challenges the authors cite: distressing crisis, wrenching change, tragic misfortune, or risky venture. The encounter, then, is not only with the external crisis, change, misfortune, or venture, but it also involves an encounter with the inner demons. Second, a note about Myers-Briggs. Those of you who know Myers-Briggs know we can turn our particular preferences, for example, for extroversion over introversion, or for thinking over feeling, into bad biases. My combination of preferences for introversion, intuition, feeling, and perception all incline me toward people, the internal, and process. Meanwhile, Jennifer's preferences for extroversion, thinking, and judging drive her toward external systems, results, and change in the outside world. Each view is hugely valuable, but alone, they are dangerous. The combination, as in so many partnerships, makes for challenge and misunderstanding, yet also the possibility for breakthrough insight and great complementarity.